Our responsive reading is taken from Psalm 77, which you can find on page 798 in the blue hymnal. If you are able, please stand. I cry aloud to God, aloud that God may hear me.
In the day of my trouble,
I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out continually. My soul refuses to be comforted. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God. You are the God who works wonders. You manifested your might among the peoples. You redeemed with your people the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid, the very deeps trembled.
The clouds poured out water,
the skies gave forth thunder, your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind, your lightnings illumined the world, the earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. These are the words of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. It's our prayer time now. As a church family, we come together as one body united in faith to lift up our prayers of blessings, to thank God for all the blessings that we receive. And also, it's a time that we share our burdens and concerns together and also lift them up to the throne of grace of God, united in faith. God's promise is that if two or three people gather in your name, he will be in our midst and he will answer our prayers according to his will and time. So let us share our prayers of blessings and concerns at this time. The last page in the bulletin, we have listed the regular prayer requests. Continue to pray for these people and these items. Please continue to pray for Martha as she is continuing her chemo, and also Rich. Pray for Guillermo, and we see Liliana online, and we'll continue to pray for him, Liliana. And pray for Miss Lou, she's online as well. She's not feeling well today, but she's online worshiping together with us. We are praying for you, Miss Lou. Thank you for all of your prayers for George Vorgis. He's almost back to normal, so I think he started his work, I believe. Going to work, so please, he asked us to convey his thanks to all the people who have prayed for him during his ordeal of he can start eating all the things that he wanted to eat after 6 months. Continue to pray for Harry. Harry is here today with us. Please keep him and also Jan in our prayers. Thank you for joining us, and we'll continue to lift up Harry for your health concerns, that God will give the healing that you are looking for. Pray for the O'Day family, that they are grieving at the death of their dear ones, and also the Hughes family in their death, that God will comfort them with the peace. Continue to pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and the governors and many others who make decisions, that they will make the right decisions that affect our lives, and God will give them the wisdom to do the right things. So let us keep them in our prayers. Let us also be thankful for the service workers, our military, fire, police, our grocery clerks and delivery people, and many others who serve us daily. Let us be thankful for their services, and also let us lift them up for their safety and their family safety during this time. Are there any other special call outs? Anything else here or online, anybody? If there are none, we will go to God in prayer. We will spend a few moments in silent prayer. Then I will close with the summarized prayers. Let us pray. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. We thank you for the manifold blessings that you shower upon us every day. Thank you for covering us with your love and protection and your safety. Even when we are not aware of it, Lord, you are keeping us safe through these days. We thank you for all the grace that you showered upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, because of whom, who came to this world to die for us, that we were able to get eternal life. We thank you for the salvation that you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, above all. We thank you again for this time that you have given us to bring up our needs and concerns as well. We are broken people in many different ways, Lord, but you are the source of all good things and you desire only good for us. And we seek your presence and raise up our burdens and concerns together as a church body. We need healing in our bodies for many of us, Lord. Thank you for the continued recovery and healing that you have been giving to many of us. Help us, Lord, to be always to trust in you for our healing, bodily healing and also our spiritual healing. We lift up those who we have named here, especially we lift up Martha as she is continuing with her chemo. Bless her with your grace that he will be healed and touch her with your healing hand and also rich. Bless them with your presence and comfort them also. We pray for Guillermo as he is also struggling through his health issues. We pray for your grace upon him. Touch him with your healing hand, Lord. Above all, we pray for peace in his life and also for Liliana as she is taking care of him. Bless them as a family and comfort them with your presence. We pray for Harry. Thank you for bringing him together with us to worship together. Lord, bless him with your healing hand. Touch him, Lord. And we pray for Jan also as she's caring for him. Bless them as a family and thank you for their continued support and the faith that they have shown during this time. We thank you for the recovery that you've given to George Vargas to start his normal life. And thank you for all the prayers for all the people. And bless them, bless him and his wife with a blessed year as they stepped into a new year, Lord. Bless them with your grace and comfort them with your presence. We thank you for the healing for Carol. Continue to bless her, Lord, as also we hear that Wayne is going to go to his surgery for his kidney stone removal on Tuesday. We lift him up into your hands at this time and commit him into your hands, Lord. Under you are the everlasting God, underneath are the everlasting arms. And we give him into your arms, Lord, to hold him during this time of surgery, that everything will go normal, that the doctors and the nurses will be guided by your Holy Spirit, that he can recover back to normal so we can worship again together, Lord, next Sunday, if it is your will. Strengthen him in his faith and also Carol. Bless them together as a family and thank you for all the blessings that they bring to this church and continue to bless them with your presence, Lord. We pray for all of those who are struggling with various issues like that, that we know and we don't know of. We pray for the O'Day family and the Hughes family who are struggling with the grief that they are going through. We pray for your peace that passeth all understanding will comfort them at this time. We also lift up Miss Lou in your hands as she is struggling with some health issues at this time. Strengthen her in her body and her spirit, Lord. Heal her and restore her health back to normal and so that we can worship together again. We thank you for again the healing that you have given her. We pray for our nation, our president, leaders of the Congress and many others who make decisions that they will fear God and make decisions based on faith and bless them with your wisdom that they will do the right things, Lord. We pray for our service workers, our military, fire, police and grocery clerks and delivery people and many, many others who serve us on a daily basis. We thank you for their services. At the same time, we pray for their safety as well. Bless us, Lord, as this church, as we work together to bless this community through our work. We pray that you guide us with the Holy Spirit, that we can reach out and touch the needs of the community, people of the community around us. Bless us to use the opportunities that you have faithfully. We especially pray for the Hispanic ministry and help them and bless them, Lord, also that they can grow together with us. Bless us, Lord, as we take part communion today together. Bless us with your presence, that each and every one of us be touched by your word and your communion today, so that we can be more powerful and faithful witnesses for you in the days to come. We thank you again for your presence in our midst. Help us to lift up your name in our singing, in the prayers and the meditation of the word and the communion we partake. In all these things, Lord, help us to bring honor and glory to your name, so that you will bless your people. We pray this prayer in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offertory. Stand for the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of the opportunity that you give us to give a portion of what you have given us, Lord. You are the source of all that we have and we are. Help us to understand that in Jesus Christ you have given us more than we could ever deserve. We thank you for all those who were able to give joyfully today, and pray for those who could not give today. Remember all of them in your love, O God. Bless and help us to use this offertory to share your love to this community and around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you remain standing, we will read the scripture. It is taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 25. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 25. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learnt when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of life that you have given us, Lord, to be life and spirit in us. As we come before your word, open our hearts and minds and give us a humble heart and spirit to receive your word with humility. Illumine our souls so that we can see the hidden truths and the spiritual meaning of what we have read. Help us to follow your commands as you command us to do and follow you faithfully, Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Lent season, this is the second Sunday in Lent, that the main purpose of the observing the Lent season is to reflect on our lives. And to, I told you three R's that we always remember during the Lent season: to renounce, reject, and repent. Renounce all those forms of injustice in the system and stand for what is right. And reject the evil and the bad habits that we have taken on. And I'm sure every one of us has some bad habits that we can reject. And on annual time like this, on annual basis, we look at our lives and list those items that we can reject. Many things that clutter our lives every day: doubt, lack of faith, fear, greed, jealousy, envy, all of those things. So we can reject all these things and surrender at the cross during this time. And then repent of our sins so that God will give us the forgiveness so that we can be free from our guilt and our sense of guilt and free from sin, so that we can live as joyful and free people in the freedom that God has given us to live. So these are the purpose, the main three purpose of observing Lent. And these are five Sundays that I will be preaching from the various aspects of the Christian faith, that we can grow into the likeness of Christ. Last Sunday we talked about the unity in spirit. As children of God, we are united by one Holy Spirit. There is one Father, there is one Spirit, there is one baptism, and there is one faith. And we are all children of God, no matter what we look like or where we are from. Through Jesus Christ, God has given us the freedom to come to God and call Him Father. And we are all children, regardless of where we are from. So that was the unity of the Spirit that we talked about in Ephesians chapter 4 last week. And today we continue with the same series where Paul is admonishing and exhorting the people in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus, about being truthful in their lives. Each of you must put on falsehood and speak truthfully. Speaking the truth is very important in this world, particularly for Christians. As one body, if we need to be united as one body, and we have the unity of spirit, we have to be truthful and honest with each other. Without being honest and without being truthful to each other, we cannot have a unified spiritual body. So being truthful is very important in our church, and also it is very important in our society. Because lately what we see is that truth has become a rare commodity. Wherever you see, you don't see a lot of honesty and truthfulness that you can trust people with. I thought it was me, but when I talk to more and more people, it is people are not being honest and trustworthy. I don't know if I heard the story about the four high school students who skipped class on a weekdays class in the morning session. So they decided to go and play something else during the mornings and decided to go in the afternoon. They went and played around and came back to the school and reported to the teacher that their car had a flat tire. He probably heard this. So the teacher, well, took it and smiled it and said, "Well, I had a quiz this morning and you missed a quiz, and I want you to take that quiz before I start the class today." And she asked them to take that quiz right away. So they were asked to be seated, and then she waited as they settled down and got ready for her questions. And then she said, "First question, which tire was flat?" So that's what happens, you know, when you make up some things and you get caught, you have to make up things. So if you have four tires and you have four kids that are trying to figure out which one is flat, and you know what's going to happen. So this is what our society is. Many times we find ourselves in trouble to make up stuff, to lie more, because we want to cover up something we have already said. We want to justify ourselves. We know that it was wrong, but in order to cover that up, we have to make more lies. So that happens a lot in our society. We don't lie anymore. We just state the facts. That's what we think. We don't, you know, we can't call anybody a liar or somebody lying. It's just stating the facts. Some of the examples of an attorney's list of things that he heard in court about excuses and lies. He was listing some of the things in an auto accident. One of the person in an auto accident in a case was saying that the pedestrian had no idea which direction to go, so I ran over him. And another one said, the telephone pole was approaching fast, so I attempted to swerve around it the path when it struck on my front of the car. So those are the excuses that people make up, or things that people want to get away from their responsibilities, and they shade the facts, trying to get away from things. The book of Proverbs clearly tells us in chapter 12, verse 22, that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And as people of faith, we are to be honest people to speak the truth. And the scripture says, and Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 and earlier in the chapter, that we need to speak the truth, at the same time speak the truth in love. If you don't speak the truth in love, it can hurt people. So that is, sometimes we find ourselves in trouble because we don't know how to speak the truth in love. So sometimes we back off from speaking the truth because it may hurt some other people, but that's not the right thing either. Truth is like a rare commodity, as recently I heard one of the former presidents made a speech, and he commented about the people who is trying to shade the facts, that the very idea of truth is being thrown out the window, and in its place, the raw power is taking over. Censorship and state control of media is on the rise. Social media has become a tool for promoting hatred and paranoia and propaganda and conspiracy theories. So as we have more facilities to communicate now, the social media has grown up so much that it blesses us with a lot of knowledge and information. At the same time, the fake news and the lies have been spreading, and we don't know which is true and which is not. That is the fact now. We hear a lot of things, we read a lot of things, and we are caught in the middle to trust which one is good and which one is bad. Too much of politics has turned our society into this situation where we don't know how to distinguish between truth and lies. So where do we stand as people of faith? Our businesses are not different either. They are not very honest when we do our businesses with them. Even go to a simple bank account, to open a simple bank account. They will give you a long form where you may not be able to read all of that in one day. And then they will have a small section where you have to use magnifying lenses to read those things in small letters. Why would they make small letters like that? The main purpose is that nobody should read it. And in there lies the important stuff about the penalties, about the fines, and all those things that you are not going to read. And if you are going to read, it takes about a week before you can open a bank account. So these are the type of things that are covering our society now, and we don't know how to trust anything anymore. Our commercials on TVs, you know, they tell you that a 70-year can look like a 17-year-old when they use your cream and buy that. And many people fall into that. These are all lies that they give you in front of you, and many people are falling into that. And unfortunately, the more we see it and more we hear it, we assume that these are true, and we take on some of those things unknowingly or knowingly. So we try to get away with the answers that shade the facts. People are trying to beat the system in any way possible. That's what happens. When we don't know what is true or false, people try to beat the system. That's what happens, particularly during this tax seasons. Many people try to work the system during the tax season, and many people do that, to lie on their taxes and to get around the system. One letter that, I don't know if it's a fake letter or somebody made this story up, but IRS got a letter one time saying that, enclosed you will find a check for $150. I cheated on my income tax return last year, and I have not been able to sleep ever since. If I still have trouble sleeping, I will send you the rest. That's the kind of way people try to work the system. When we don't know what is true and what to trust and what not to trust, they try to beat the system. And I don't know if you've noticed that if you want to take an insurance policy, lately we have been trying to get some health insurance policies. These are very confusing. And they make it so confusing purposely that you don't know which is right and which is wrong, and which is good for you and which is bad for you. And that's not the honest system, if you think about it. An honest system should be able to make you clearly what is right and what is wrong, which is good for you and which is bad for you, so that you can make the right selection. Instead of doing that, our systems are made to make it so confusing that nobody knows what is good for you and what is good for us. For example, this was also a funny story that an insurance agent told me, that now when you do an online application for a life insurance, there's a question, series of questions that you have to answer. So the system was giving her the answers of how old is your mother, how old was his father, so that they can get a family history. So when the first time when she reported that her how old was your mother when she died, she was only 41. And what did she die of? She died of cancer. And how old was your father when he died? And he was 43. And what was he? What did he die of? He died of heart attack. And all of this family history she put in, she had two parents who died very young. Immediately there's a red flag showed up and said, you are denied. So she learned her lesson. So she said, okay, now I know what to do. So the next time she went to another insurance company on the online, it's probably a made-up story, but it has a lot of truth in it. So next time when she went to the other insurance company and started answering these questions, she said, how old is your father? She said, he's dead. How old was he when he died? He said, 94. And then, what did he die of? He fell off a horse as he was riding, 94. And then, how old was your mother? She said, she's dead too. And how old was she when she died? She said, 91. And the funny thing that she said, what did she die of? She said, childbirth. Immediately, the system approved her. I don't know how good is this story, but there is some elements of these stories that are good. This is what we do. We know what the system wants, and we make up our facts to make the system work for us. So we are making up things and shading the facts to get our immediate needs done. It happens daily in our lives. And honesty and truthfulness are all the way taken out from our society. So truth starts from the individual and it comes from the heart. We are caught in the middle because individuals make the decision to be truthful. It comes out of our hearts. It is worth taking time to reflect about our daily life and asking ourselves how we are going to deal with truth every day, or every minute, or every second. But it's not a comfortable exercise. A friend of ours used to be always saying that she always says when in our conversation, Evangeline, to be honest with you, or Matthew, to be honest with you, And I kind of sensed a little bad note in there. And one time I stopped her and said, please stop there. To be honest with you, you say that, that means that you're not being honest the other times. It gives some kind of an indication that is otherwise. So be careful. To be honest with you means that we want to indicate that we are being straightforward and down to earth, telling the truth without any embellishment. That is good. But do we have to do that? Why do we have to say that, to be honest with you? Because most of the time we are probably not being honest. Isn't that the truth? So let us be truthful in our words and in our deeds. Mean only what you say, and say only what you mean, so that you can be truthful. So unfortunately, like it or not, truth is dying, and this situation may well have serious consequences if we don't stand up and act as Christian people. There are two different truths that I have read. I don't want to bore you with all of that. There's objective truth and there is subjective truth. And many people are more into the subjective truth because they want to make truth to the way they want to like it. If they don't like something, that's not the truth for them. For example, if you are here and some of you think that it is 80 degrees here and too hot, and some of the others may think that it's 60 degrees and being very cold. So where is the truth? Because you are feeling, some people are feeling hot, some people are feeling cold. And where is the truth? The truth is, when you go look at the thermostat, it will tell you the truth. So there is an objective truth, reality somewhere there. But the world has changed and say that there is no objective truth, there is nothing called truth, that everything is subjective. Truth changes from people to people and subject to subject. That's very dangerous. There is one truth, it's always one truth. And it will not change from substance to substance or circumstance to circumstances or person to person. Objective truth is the truth. There is one truth. And recently a doctor shared a story. He shared a story that he stopped seeing certain patients and he got in trouble for that. But the reason why he stopped seeing certain patients is because he was a transgender person came to him for treatment. And this is a person who was a man, wanted to become a woman. He felt like he was a woman. But he's a man biologically. But his blood results showed that he has problems with his prostate. But he's a woman now. So she didn't want to accept the fact because he or she feels like a woman, but basically her organs are all men's organs. So he decided to send her to a lab work to check her prostate, and he did not like it. And he didn't want to continue treating patients like that. Some people, so where are the facts? The doctors have the facts, the body has the facts, but people deny it when you want to change your appearance or your gender. So these are the issues that we are faced with daily on a daily basis. There is ultimately one truth. The truth is that, remember when Pilate asked Jesus, what is the truth? Because Jesus, just before he was crucified, he was standing before Pilate. And Jesus said, I came to stand witness for the truth. And Pilate washed his hands and said, what is the truth? And Pilate knew the truth, that this is an innocent man standing before him. And he said that he's innocent. But he did not stand behind the truth, but he stood behind the people's opinions to be politically correct, so win the favor of the people. That is not truthfulness. And that's why he said, I wash my hands of this truth, this innocent man. But that does not absolve from any guilt. He's still as guilty as telling the truth, and he was not standing for the truth. So the truth is, the ultimate truth is Jesus Christ himself, who came here, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he is the real truth. He is the reflection and the image of the invisible God who showed us what truth is all about. And those who believe in Jesus Christ will be truthful no matter where we are, no matter what circumstances that we have to face. We'll be always honest and transparent and truthful. And let us be thankful for Jesus Christ who came to teach us what truth is all about. So, when Pilate heard Jesus speak the truth, he asked, what is truth? It was not inquiry. He didn't wait for an answer. He said, to justify himself, he went out to the mob and pronounced Jesus innocent, then and gave him up for crucifixion. God's word is also the truth that we can trust in. God has given us the scripture as the ultimate truth. That truth will never falter. It will never fade away. No matter what changes around us, it says that the word of God stands forever, eternal. And that's the eternal truth. As Jesus Christ is the truth, the living Son of God, the way, truth and the life, the scripture is our ultimate truth that we can trust our daily lives on. As we come to the table, let us be people who speak the truth to each other. As we heard here today, that put off all falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. What does it mean to speak truthfully to your neighbor? Speaking truth rules out lying. We think that a lie will achieve some greater good normally for our own benefit. A lie might stop me from an awkward situation. But the lies can cause hurt in the body of Christ and also in our society. Speaking the truth with sometimes involve not speaking at all. Especially if you don't know all the facts. We don't want to make our opinions if we don't know what we are talking about. So speaking the truth to each other means being honest and transparent to each other, and also to be silent when we don't know all the facts. Truth brings freedom in our relationships. When there is no truthfulness and honesty, there is always that suspicion and doubts in us. That will not bring freedom to the church, the faith community. In order to have the freedom to work together as God's people, we need to be honest and truthful to each other. And that's the Spirit of God in us that tells us to be truthful, to speak truth to each other. Paul says, continues to say and finish up the chapter saying, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. May the good Lord bless us these words so that we can be agents and carriers of truth, to speak the truth in love and be truthful in our lives as we strive forward to grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ. As we come to the table, as the ushers guide you, may the good Lord help us to be truthful in our walk of life every day. Please follow the laminated sheets that you can find on the pews for our Holy Communion. Please follow the laminated sheets that you can find in the pews. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night to which he gave himself for us, he took the bread and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and drink. Make them be for the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes with final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. As the ushers guide you, please come forward and take up the offering, communion table. Closing hymn is "Alas, and Did My Savior Die." It is 359 in the blue hymnal. If you are able, please stand and join the closing hymn. We will sing verses 1, 2, 3, and 5.
And did my sovereign die? Oh, did he bore that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. amazing pretty grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness shine and shout its glory's name, when God the mighty maker died for his own creatures' sake. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, on the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
People of God, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." As you go from this place, be carriers of the truth, speaking the truth in love, to be honest with each other and to be honest to yourself. As Paul exhorts, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow in every way into Jesus Christ, who is the head. May the good Lord bless us to speak the truth every way possible in our lives. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, now and forevermore.